This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Where are you at now with the NBA Finals? Did last night's game impact your pick in any way, shape, or form? Do you know who you're taking to win already, and how many games will it need to do to get done?
Yeah, I'm taking OKC in like five, I think. I mean, I really don't think it's going to be that close. But hopefully it will be. Hopefully it'll be better. But I do think that that just sort of confirmed that OKC is the team. I don't think there's any way the Knicks win another game, but they've won there before, so it's not like it's impossible. But I hope that was just a kind of one-off and a bit of a fluke, and I feel like I really do feel like if the Knicks, because they're the Knicks, if they had gone out in five, I think everybody would feel like their season was a failure, even though you know, you get to the conference finals. That's not a failure of a season, but just in New York, it might be considered flukish and a failure. So they played well and they won the game, and all the celebrities courtside were happy. But I feel like the Pacers are going to get it done. You know, it's an interesting idea though, because I do think if you go back for a game seven, you got a problem. But I think they should get it done in Indy. And I like OKC just straight up against Indy, and I think that I like them more now.
I think it'll be a gentleman's sweep, to your point, Mully. I think the Thunder are too good, too good. But I think that they might lose that first game just from a rust factor, because I think this is going seven. I think the Knicks are going to win on Saturday in Indy. I'm not really sure. I'm pulling for the Knicks. I think it's just a better product. It'll be a better watch. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton, are you kidding me? 32 minutes, 2-for-7, 0-for-2 for three-pointers. Oh, he didn't turn it over. So he didn't turn it over. Eight whole – is he – I mean, no wonder the Bulls drafted Patrick Williams. I mean, right? We asked a really good question yesterday.
Knee-jerk reaction.
Jerk being the key word.
Knee-jerk reaction.
We asked a really good question yesterday in the extra point about the face of the NBA moving forward, and we picked apart what Charles Barkley said. I mean, one of us could have easily said, hey, where's Tyrese Haliburton on this list? I mean, what an – awful! Awful performance in the greatest basketball arena on the planet, and you go 2-for-7. You work 32 minutes. You scored 8 points. Go Knicks!
I think the Pacers look shaky enough to believe that however long it takes, Oklahoma City at some point is going to celebrate. They should start planning the parade.
Yeah.
Last night's game was confirmation, I think, that the NBA Finals is going to be very one-sided. Thunder in three. I think they could have.
I mean, David's making up new rules.
I gave him a game because I thought.
It's not going to be
close. I didn't want to be rude.
The depth of Oklahoma City, the way they swarm defensively, you've got no answer for SGA. And I think then you look at all the things that are in their favor. I guess we can look forward to the NBA Finals because it is going to be an introduction to many people to the best team in the league, which has been dominant this season. They've been dominant. So it's just a matter of time. The Knicks-Pacers series last night, I thought it might be over last night. I thought the Knicks mentally might be done. You never can rule out a team that is led by Jalen Brunson and coached by Tom Thibodeau. Yeah. They aren't going away. They don't think they're out of it. So I think seven games might be in the offing. And I did pick Knicks in seven, so I think I would like to see that, but I still believe the Pacers will prevail.
It's still a difficult question to answer.
Hockey insider Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic reported that Johnny Taves contacted his longtime agent, said he wants to return to play. Taves is 37. What are his chances, and where might he land? Is Chicago an option?
As we said, I love this story. I love the idea of Jonathan Taves returning to hockey. The game has missed him. You need more Jonathan Taves examples, guys who are as serious, if you will, about their craft, about their profession. He brings it every night. He has expectations for his teammates, and he's been like that since he was 19 years old. It's remarkable how young he was when he established himself as a leader and a legend in this town. Seems like it was a long time ago because it was a long time ago. He's 37. I don't know what he has left in terms of skating, in terms of being that two-way center at both ends of the ice. He still could probably help a team in the dressing room and on the ice. I hope that it is soon, and I hope that he is serious. He is Captain Serious, so I think that's probably going to happen. Who would help? Who would he help? Anaheim Ducks with Coach Joel Quenneville. Maybe Patrick Kane goes out there as well, and they have a reunion in Southern California. The Winnipeg Jets certainly had a disappointing end to a really terrific season up there in Taser's hometown. I don't think it will be the Chicago Blackhawks because they have moved on in every way, and I don't believe that they have talk about a hockey sacrilege. They don't have any room for the captain in that dressing room. So I don't think they want to go backward. All eyes forward with the new coach, Jeff Blashill. So I don't think it will be Chicago, but I think it will be with a contender or in his hometown, and the Jets might still be a contender.
Well, I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's able to play. Very strange injury. I mean, it sounded like he had, like, massive COVID fatigue. Like, he really never got over having COVID very seriously. So I'm glad that he's going to get to go back into the NHL, and then obviously he's going to leave the NHL maybe on his own terms. I'm sure he'd like to get his name back on the cup. I'm sure he'd like to go up to Canada. David, I think you made a great list for us to kind of chew on and think about. But it makes all the sense in the world to come back here and help develop Connor Bedard as the future of this team. So if he, meaning Taves, has a love affair with, I mean, call them. Be proactive. And now that the people involved behind the scenes in the terrible things that went on over there are back in the league, meaning the general manager and the former coach are back in the league, why can't Jonathan Taves return to the Blackhawks?
Well, I noticed, I mean, he's 37, right? So I noticed that Corey Perry scored.
Oh,
he's
boy.
40 now.
He's had quite a postseason.
He's had a great postseason. Yeah. Former Blackhawk great, David's guy.
No. Okay.
I'm just making a joke. But there's a guy, now he's 6'3", 200 and something pounds. He is a big, strong dude, especially on skates, and Taser is not that. But I hated the way things ended for him because I always felt that the difference between Taze and Kane was also found in the longevity of their careers, because Jonathan Taze would literally do anything that needed doing, and that meant he would go in front of goal and take a lot of abuse, whereas Kaner never got hit, never really seemed to avoid a lot of that stuff. Just the way he played and everything else. And I'm not dissing his game. I love Patrick Kane. He's maybe the best Blackhawks player ever. But that's saying a lot with that statement. But he may go down as such.
I agree with you.
But I think that he, had all the skill and was this great player. But Taser was the guy that sacrificed whatever had to be sacrificed, and I felt it impacted the length of his career. And I'm glad at the idea that he's feeling better and able to come back. He had concussion issues. I mean, there were a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you're right, Dustin. There was like the long term COVID stuff, and didn't he go to India at one point and try to find some solutions?
Not that long ago.
No. And the idea that he's feeling good enough that he's able to come back is great news. I really mean that. I really hope that he can that this works out for him. And it seems to me that doing it in his hometown would probably be the perfect spot for him.
Because everything about the next step is about looking forward. That's why I don't think himself he would be looking at Chicago, because it would be everything compared to looking back. And it would never be able to match that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
It's a good thing to talk about, though.
We had an interesting conversation with Clay Harbor yesterday about left tackle position for the Bears, where he, meaning Clay, revealed his belief that Ozzie Trapillo is already ahead of Kieran Amagaji on that depth chart. What does that mean in terms of competition with Braxton Jones? Would it be good or bad if Jones is not the starter?
I think if Jones is not the starter, it means he's hurt. So that's bad. I think that Braxton Jones is the starting left tackle, not by draft position, but by investment of starts in the man. He started a lot of games here in Chicago, and he's gotten better, and that is a big investment. I get it. His contract will be up at the end of the year, and maybe they don't want to invest in him long term. But he has done enough. He started enough games that is a form of investment. And whether they were all wins or losses, or whether he won every, that guy is a solid rank and file NFL starter, and he needs to be respected as such. And I think that if he is the starting left tackle, that's probably what the plan was. I think the only way he loses that job right now is if he is injured, and he's obviously coming back from an injury, so you want him to be able to play. But I'm encouraged by what Clay had to say about Ozzie Trapillo. I think that very difficult. One of the fun things to do at training camp is to just go stand and watch guys play on the offensive line, because they're actually playing football, and when you get the pads on, they're hitting and they're doing some stuff, and it's good. And I think that you won't know whether a guy can play until you see him in the pads and you see what it looks like. You can tell a little bit in practice, but when you get into the games, you get a really good sense of it. So I hope that Ozzie Trapillo is doing as well as imagined and is recognized by Clay. I'm not saying that Clay's wrong. I'm saying that would be really encouraging if that's the case. But if he beats out Braxton Jones, that might not be the best case scenario. It might be best to just have a starting left tackle back and healthy and able to play with other better players around him.
I agree about the fact that Braxton Jones, if healthy, would compete for that spot. And if he beats him, then he beats him. What I do believe is that Ozzie Trapillo has put himself ahead of Kieran Amagaji as that swing tackle, if you will. I just wonder what is the future of Kieran Amagaji? I mean, are they allowed to put him and protect him on the practice squad? Would they have to make him available to everybody else in order to get him to the practice squad?
Yes.
I don't think guard is his future, because I think he's almost too big potentially to play guard, especially with what I think the Bears want to do. So, I mean, would Poles be willing to, cut this guy and see what the rest of the league thinks about him? Because you're going to have almost too many offensive linemen at this point if he is the fourth tackle. I don't think you're going to be in a position to have four tackles on your roster every Sunday.
I think you'll find a way to keep him in the organization. I don't think you want to be cutting offensive tackles, not with the attrition rate on the offensive line. Plan A remains Braxton Jones, because you have experience at a position that's a premium position, and you would be foolish to squander that. You drafted Ozzie Trapillo to be somebody who in the future protects you from the possibility or against the possibility of Braxton Jones leaving next year because he's in a final year of his deal. And he may save you some money long term. And this is a rookie contract for a left tackle that might be a really wise draft pick as this progresses, because you could get a year out of Braxton Jones and then you can have a little bit more leverage with him if Ozzie Trapillo develops. You have four offensive linemen you feel very good about. And if Braxton Jones weren't coming off the injury, you'd probably feel very good about him as well, because he has been serviceable. He's not been spectacular. That's okay. Right now, he doesn't have to be. He needs to hold down the fort at one of the most important positions on the O-line. But I don't think you want to go cutting people. I don't think you need to worry about too much depth. That would be a luxury the Bears would love to be able to afford. I don't have any problem with Ozzie Trapillo going into his rookie season as a backup swing tackle, because if that's the only role he plays, only in air quotes, that's a great season of development for a guy who could be potentially your future left tackle at a position that would be affordable and allow you to do some other things.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That's a great question.
The Bears have $14.5 million of salary cap space, according to Over the Cap, and Nick Chubb will not be returning to the Browns, according to the Four Letter Network. So, is Chubb still a real possibility, and do you think Ben Johnson would prefer Chubb over J.K. Dobbins and, say, Gus Edwards or Jamal Williams, who know Ben Johnson?
I still believe that J.K. Dobbins fits the Bears' timeline better. I think if you're a team that wants to envision, or a team that is looking at the next 1 to 3 years as winning time, you make a step forward next year, this coming season. You take a big quantum leap the next season after that, 2026, to maybe be a playoff contender and take your chances. Then I think J.K. Dobbins makes sense if he's available, interested, and affordable. Nick Chubb, if he is your consolation prize, if you will, still makes a lot of sense because he's a downhill runner that would complement DeAndre Swift and certainly give the Bears something they don't have right now. Not that Roschon Johnson can't do that, but I don't know how the new regime feels about him. That said, I think they have to address this. They have to go into the free agent market, what's left of it, and get a veteran running back, because you, if not create competition, you want to give your offense a dimension that it currently doesn't have.
Yes, a dimension that we don't know that it has, and I wonder how much the former Bulldog teammates, does that matter anymore once you get to the NFL and you get down the road a bit, if they're the teammate from college days matters, because that's what Chubb was with Swift. So is that a factor at all? I'm guessing that from what we, at least I know of Ben Johnson from this spot, I'm thinking he wants guys that he's familiar with. I think that's more of his comfort level, if you will. But I definitely think they need to add. I don't think there's any question that they need to add to the running back room.
Yeah, I think they need another running back. And if it's Chubb, great. If it's J.K. Dobbins, great. I think either of those guys would be the two that I would circle and try to get. You know, maybe Dobbins over Chubb. Okay. But either one, I think, would be a real upgrade to what they're doing, and I hope they do it. I really do.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
What do you make of Tommy Hadovy telling us yesterday that Shota Imanaga will likely need a rehab stint before returning to the rotation? Shota injured that left hamstring all the way back on May the 4th and will pitch again Saturday, a bullpen. Do you figure he'll likely miss the 9-game road trip, Washington, Detroit, and Philly, then return sometime around the weekend of the 12th when the Pirates
are coming to town.
Yeah, I think he wants to be there for Dustin. That's what I think. I think that Shota's got a sense that he's got a guy out there that really wants to watch him pitch.
What if you have the choice between Papal Blessing or Paul Skeens? What are you choosing?
Oh, that's so good. I think it's interesting. I saw Bruce had a thing saying that he thought that Shota would go to Arizona. So I thought that was interesting because I just figured he'd go to Iowa because it's close enough and you get guys that are, you know, closer to the major leagues, right? And then you find down in at the facility. So I keep kind of hoping he winds up going to Iowa, get a start in there, get a look there, and then get back here and be ready to go for that series. It just makes sense that they're going to go on the road if they're gone for 9 days. They said he'd be back in the middle of June, right? Doesn't that kind of – maybe that's a little early, but he's already throwing. He's going to throw Saturday. Then you get him a rehab start or two down in Iowa, and he's ready when you get back from your road trip.
I think the Arizona thing makes sense because of that extended road trip. I mean, he's going to have a sim game, a start, if you will. He's already doing bullpens. And, hey, you know, listen, I might even pray on having a Paul Skeens, Shota Imanaga matchup for my return to the federal landmark.
Yeah. I love it when you call it the federal landmark. I don't know why, but you do it once a day. I like it. I enjoy it. I think Shota Imanaga, whatever he is comfortable with, that's the key here. This is somebody that's never returned from an injury like this before. We don't know what he feels comfortable doing, whether it's in the climate, whether it's in the comforts of spring training facility that he knows well and may not be comfortable in Iowa. He may not have much experience in Des Moines or wherever in AAA. Maybe he wants to avoid it. I understand that. If this is a guy who isn't your prototypical major league starter in that he didn't work his way up from Class A to AA to AAA.
Right, right.
He came here and pitched in major league parks. Maybe he wants to stay in major league parks or major league facilities. No problem there. Shota, take your time. Take your time. Be well rested. Be well recovered. Be healthy. So when you do come back every fifth day, the Cubs can count on you again. They're doing okay without you. It doesn't mean they can do okay without him the rest of the way. It's May 30th. They're at the high water mark of the season. Take your time.
And he may be the guy that wants to go to Iowa. You know what I mean? He may want to see a different part of the country. Shota seems like the kind of guy that throws him. Maybe he's always wanted to kind of wear coveralls and do some farming.
I don't think so.
Get to an Applebee's?
I don't think so. I don't. We were talking yesterday, if there are any good sushi places in Des Moines. We never heard back, so I guess the answer would be no.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
A man wants to milk a cow every once in a while.
I know you can put some pork on your fork out there, according to Pat and Ron. What is your reaction to the MLB Network saying this about Miguel Vargas?
This might be the most dramatic in-season adjustment I've ever seen in the MLB Network era.
This might be the most dramatic in-season adjustment. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Is the closer to being the truth, or is that an exaggeration?
I have to think that's got to be somewhat of an exaggeration. I think that Miguel Vargas is the MLB Network was launched on January 1st, 2009. So we're talking about the last 15, 16 years. Is Miguel Vargas's adjustment, moving his hands, we've all seen the pictures. Is that the biggest in-season adjustment? Thank you to the biomechanics lab at 35th and Shields. It sounds like an exaggeration, but maybe it's a truth. People who are in the game are marveling at his ability to change the course of his season. He was terrible the first month. Terrible.
It was terrible last year.
And he was even worse last year.
Oh, I know.
He was anemic, his batting average. He looked overmatched. He looked disinterested. All his body language said, stop. I'm out of my element here. Then he moved his hands. And who am I to argue with the MLB Network. They know this stuff inside and out. It just is something you don't hear every day. Certainly about a White Sox hitter. So congratulations to Vargas for making MLB Network history.
Well, I mean, he was hitting 150, and now he's not hitting 150. So it was a big, I mean, it worked. I mean, but Matt Shaw made adjustments, but not, I guess, with his hands, right? Because Matt Shaw was hitting even probably worse than 150.
You sound jealous.
He's hitting, but, you know, I mean, good for Miguel. Listen, aren't we all looking for, like, one piece of good news from the team that plays at 35th and Shields?
We got one.
Going to be a sellout there.
Get your Pope tickets. Hey, I got to be honest with you about this. I think that Miguel Vargas, if you go back and look, he was like a really promising farmhand for the Dodgers. I mean, he was a top 100 prospect. He was a highly thought of player who kind of fizzled out, came here and was awful, and then made an adjustment and is back on the course that his career may have once had. So it's kind of like, you know, what it does is it gives you hope for a guy like Colson Montgomery, although totally different swing, totally different situation. Colson Montgomery was drafted out of high school, and I believe he's grown a bit. And his problem, he's got this long swing. I mean, he's just getting, it's like he's growing out of baseball or something. You know, you got to worry about that, although doesn't seem to stop Aaron Judge. But I wonder if this we've talked about, there's somebody with the Sox that knows what the hell they're doing with their pitching, and I think we know who it is. I think there might be someone who's got a good clue as to hitting, too, and we got a suspicion of who that is. So I think they made some good moves. But, I mean, you know, this is, I will call it a non, I will say it is dramatic, both dramatic and drastic, the change that has happened here. So good that you've got to make up a word to describe it, or you've got to claim it's the MLB era. I just think, MLB Network era, I just think that it is astounding at one simple kind of mechanical change give somebody back their confidence to the point where they're now raking. It doesn't make all the sense in the world, but it makes you think one little trick can turn a mind.
Well,
and
maybe
then that power will take care of the rest.
Maybe it will have the same effect on Colson Montgomery. Maybe it does give somebody like that hope. It certainly is a great example for other prospects to point to or look at. I also just think that it underscores for me, and I don't want to dwell on this because it's a positive story, but why they moved him from third base to first base is beyond me, because everything was going so well and continues. He's hitting, but I don't know what's he doing at first base. His future in the organization is not there.
I think he's a third baseman, and he'll be a third baseman. I think they just put all their first basemen down into the minor leagues.
It seems silly to me.
None of them can hit.
Yeah.
They just need somebody that can
keep him third base. How is that developing him as an infielder if he's playing out of position at first?
I think of him as a third baseman, not a first baseman.
Same.
Yeah, so I wouldn't get too worked up about it. We got the extra point next, and man, is it a good one. We're going to have some hefty, lively discussion over this one. Mully and Haw on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.